Well, hopefully Michelle Bachmann liked her as much as she liked the butt monkey you keep in your studio.
Okay, very funny. Very funny.
Well, in terms of the overall timing, I know you've spent a lot of time with your animal. One of the things that intrigued me, I guess it goes back to your time with Troy. Unlike Don Imus, you don't mention every day that you're a cancer survivor.
Right.
But there was a time where you were battling breast cancer.
Yeah.
And how important was your relationship with Troy when you were going through all of the hardship?
Totally. I mean, so important. And I know people hear about therapy animals and therapy dogs and cats. But I can tell you from firsthand experience, it was absolutely vital. I mean, I was going through a lot of personal stuff at the time, like 5 years ago. And it was such a comfort. You know, I had friends and family and great, great support. I was very blessed to have that. But it was just to have her there, you know, and she knew something was wrong, obviously.
Right.
And, you know, dogs also smell, you know, chemicals. And so I have a sense that she was very, very acutely aware of something very, you know, odd going on. And she stuck to me like glue. I mean, totally like glue. And now Lucy, so when she died, when he died, Troy died, it was really tough. I mean, because he was really, you know, I had him since I was a young lawyer, and then he was with me throughout my, you know, career, and really important. I mean, and I cried, and I still cry when I see pictures of him. But now Lucy has sort of stepped into where Troy left off, because she's now become like a therapy dog, unofficial therapy dog to friends of mine who have lost their dogs. So she's my friends up the street who lost their lab mix a year ago. She stayed with them for, I think I loaned her out for maybe a week and a half, and they just said it was so helpful. And then my friend lost his Dalmatian, who's my surrogate dad, Chuck Carlson, lost his Dalmatian of 12 years, Khaki, and he basically took Lucy for, you know, a couple of weeks and kind of as a caretaker of her anyway, but he said it was critical to him and his wife getting through this. So she's been great.
Well, I will say, as someone who listens to you on the radio during the time you were going through that, most people perceive you as the lawyer, the very tough arguer of issues and points, but the love that you had for your animals is beyond question for anyone who listens to you, because there's no question that these animals become a part of your life, even more so when you've got a fairly high profile and it's hard to get out in the public.
It is hard. And I don't know if you remember, I mean, this was actually incredibly traumatic, but Troy escaped from the back of my house when I just moved to a new home.
I do remember
and
that.
And I was a mess. I mean, it was actually embarrassing. I mean, I was totally in a wreck for 3 nights, like up all night, scouring the neighborhood, you know, getting articles put in the newspaper to find him. And I basically had to I took time off the show for 2 or 3 days to finally find him. And it was like a national story. I mean, I had the Washington Post did a piece about it. And, you know, it turns out that he was trapped in a neighbor's house, like 2 houses away from me. And she was, you know, without going into the details, she was not exactly helpful in helping me get him back. Yeah, without going into the details, it was a very unfortunate situation. Then he died 4 weeks later.
Well, if you're going to get an unexcused absence from work, I think that was absolutely a good reason to.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said, for anyone who listens to you, it gave them a very, very human picture of what you're like. And I've got to say, it grew my affection for what you do and what you stand for.
Thank you so much.
I appreciated your sharing that with your audience.
Oh, well, thank you guys very much.
Yeah. We can tip our hat off to all those dogs that are actually therapy dogs that aren't ever recognized as a therapy dog.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And I know Lee and Rick, you both, I mean, you get this, and because you do this, and this is your life. And I say this a lot, and it sounds kind of, I don't know, maybe it sounds judgmental, but I tend to be friends with people who love animals. I mean, I call myself an animal freak. I mean, all animals, not just dogs. And I don't know. I just feel like we're supposed to protect animals, and we're supposed to, you know, I'm pro-life, and so I want to protect the unborn, protect the elderly, protect animals, because oftentimes they can't make it without us, and you know, we owe them, you know, respect in the way we treat them and kindness, and it just they repay you so much. With so much, and it's the least we can do for them. So anyway, I sound like a total, you know, squishy liberal here.
And yeah, you know what? That's the thing I love about pets and pet keeping is definitely not a liberal or a conservative effort. It's basically from the heart, and that's really hard to kind of identify where that comes from.
Oh, I hear you, and I mean, I couldn't agree more.
Well, we've been talking this morning with Laura Ingram, the national host of the Laura Ingram Show and the upcoming author.
The Obama Diaries. Oh, you guys are going to scream. It is so funny. You're going to absolutely wet your pants. I'm sorry, but it's that funny.
July 13th. Is that the date, Laura?
Lucky 13. You got it. All the secret thoughts and musings of Barack, Michelle, and the gang.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the last book came out as a number one bestseller right out of the gate, and my guess is this one, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. We appreciate having you on the show.
All right, guys. I hope I see you in Michigan.
I hope so as well. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, guys. Take care.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I-